Today's sermon text is 1 John 2:7-11. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You may be seated.
Good morning. Grateful that we have this opportunity to come together as God's people and open his word and hope and pray that God will teach us his truth so that we are properly guided and directed in our hearts and lives in the way that God would have us to go. This morning, from verses 7 through 11, we're going to look at the light, the life and light that Christ gives as he makes all things new, primarily in this idea of him coming as the fulfillment of new covenant grace and goodness to us. It says, I think kind of an interesting passage, in that John is talking about the reality of what the light of Christ does in the hearts of his people. And without using the word love, he references this idea of love repeatedly. And this is something that he's going to stress throughout this letter as a quality and a characteristic that God's people should display. That love ought to be something that is characteristic of us. And when we think about love today, I think if I were to say, how would you define love? I think it might be very interesting to hear the variety of definitions that would come from people that are gathered even here today. What does it mean to be a loving child of God? And how would we define that? And I think it's very easy at times when people are communicative of biblical and sound truth to others. Some people will respond to that by saying, man, that wasn't very loving. And by that, it's like if you do something that might cause somebody some uneasiness, that's not a loving thing to do. And I would say that's a very misguided idea. And yet, love is not this heartless and careless way of going about life. So I'm hoping that God, if nothing else, is going to give us some definitions of love today that we could draw from and take heart in. Because the reality is Christ has come in the power of new covenant grace, and he is supplying for us what we need. And in Christ, we will find the ability to walk in that life, that new life of new covenant grace, and the light that he displays. And part of the manifestation of that light is the love that God wants to pour out from us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul makes this statement to the church at Rome. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We've been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit. For God has done what the law, that old covenant communication, what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walked not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The light and life of Christ has certainly made all things new. Our abilities, because of what Christ has come to bring by his purchase of us through his death, his burial, resurrection, and ascension, what he has accomplished for us in this new covenant grace is to give us what we did not have before, and that is the ability to walk in truth and to walk in victory. We have that power and that ability, and we should trust and depend on that, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we want to see that power and that gift manifest. So the power for new life, the power to walk in light, is a blessing of the new covenant. You and I can have that confidence. We can rest in that assurance that we're not on our own, that he's going to help us. He cares about us, and he is going to shape us, refine us, and equip us. So as we think about the commands of God, as he talks about them in this passage, we must see the commandments of God in the light of Jesus Christ. And this is that first point, verses 7 through 8. John says, "Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and you, because the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already shining." My hope is that once we work through this, this will make more sense. I think when we look at this initially, there might be some haziness and the need for clarity about what he's talking about at this stage. When he initiates this communication at this point in the letter, he says, "Beloved." He calls them beloved. So addressing the people of the church as beloved, John lets them know that he loves them as he has this familial, this family love. He cares about them as if they are his own family. And may I also make the point that love is more than feelings and affections, because it involves active care and concern. I think in our world today, and even in many of our churches, we would say that love is, that's just that warm, fuzzy feeling that we all get. You know, we like each other, and we kind of feel good about each other. I just love you, man. You know, but is that what God is talking about? Is that what John is referencing here? As he prepares to instruct the church about the significance of love, it is important to see that he practices what he preaches. He lets them know that they are in his heart. He has active care and concern for them. And I think as we contemplate even that initial statement, when he says, "Beloved," when you who have been a part of a congregation, a fellowship for a period of time, and you're here and you're associated with God's people, would you be able to say that of the people of God that comprise your church? Could you call them beloved? And I think immediately we find ourselves, well, if I'm going to really have that kind of care and concern, I need to be connected with those people in a significant way, and I need to be invested in that, and I've got to have some ebb and flow and give and take, and we've got to be connected. Yeah, it's certainly more than just sharing a seat with people on Sunday morning. Agreed? we're going to love each other, it's got to go beyond that. And we should be able to think, well, God wants me to call people in the church beloved and to mean it from the depth of my being, that I care about you, I'm concerned about you, I want what God wants for you, and that's what's best for you. I want you to walk in the grace of Christ. I want you to walk in the truth. That should be the kind of thing we're sharing in the church with one another. John, as the context reveals, is presenting them with an old commandment. And that commandment is to love. The commandment is to love God and our neighbor as conveyed in the Old Covenant and the Old Testament. The people of God were commanded to love their covenant God wholeheartedly, as displayed by learning and living His truth. We can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That's how much we're to love God, with all our heart, with all our soul, all our might. That's what He commanded the Israelites to do. That's how much you're supposed to love God. And what will be the immediate outflow of that? Well, he goes on and he says, "And these words that I have commanded you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." If we're going to walk in love for God, then that means our love for God is going to be displayed by walking in the truth. And where's the most important place for that to be displayed? It would certainly be in one's household. Would you not agree? And what's the most loving thing you can do for your household? To walk completely and totally immersed in the truth of God. Immersing your life and the life of your family in the truth of God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God and to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I'm commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet the Lord set His love or set His heart in love on you, on your fathers, and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day." God chose to love the people of Israel. He made a decision to love the people of Israel, not because they were lovable. And I don't think anybody can read the Old Covenant and say, boy, the children of Israel were very lovable people. God sought them out, put His care and favor upon them, gave them His provision and power, and loved them. He chose to allow the benevolence of His heart to flow out in care and concern for them. And He wants them to do the same. He wants them to have that kind of care and concern. And then Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. It says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Those verses sound familiar even to you? This is the old covenant. And God says, I'm wanting you to love me with all your heart and with all your soul. I want you to love people. I want you to do this. And he says, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's just stop and think about this for just a minute. The commands of the law were God-centered and others-oriented. Love included. The Old Covenant people loved God. Why? Because God loved them. He loved them, and they, in response, obeyed and walked in love with him. And folks, we've got to understand this. This is the bottom line here. Love for God and others is not simply warm feelings and emotions. For the glory and the honor of God, scriptural care and concern are required to be shown. Do you see that in the Old Covenant? For the glory and honor of God, scriptural care and concern are required to be shown. These are commands. You're commanded to love God and love the people. So when we understand this, and we understand this is the requirement, you are commanded to do this. We can see that the Old Covenant people of God were to show care and concern for God and one another, and that commitment is nothing new. That's not new. That's why he says the old commandment is the word that you have heard. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. These instructions about the requirement to love in the Old Covenant are scriptures that the people in the church, John writes, hey, they've read these things, they've heard these things. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament yet. What were the scriptures that they had? The Old Covenant. These were the things that were imparted to them. These were the things that were taught them. And the Old Covenant scriptures were put forward to them, and what was displayed in them is all of this points toward Jesus. And they were taught that. All of this is pointing toward Christ, the coming Messiah, the one that God will bring and bless. And you got to look at this. It's what God demands and what God expects. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, do you remember he was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 and following, it gives an account of this. One of the Jewish people came to him and said, Teacher, speaking to Jesus, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments, loving God and loving others, on those two commandments, the whole law. You'd love, and you're going to be able to obey the law. Great. Thanks. That's what I needed to know, right? All I got to do is love God completely, without reservation, without hesitation, and love other people. Can I ask you a question? How easy is that? You see, Jesus is explaining the demands of the old covenant to this person who asked him the question, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to understand some things here. Commandments are not the means of achieving favor from God. It is not like, well, if I will do these things, God will be pleased with me and I'll get his favor. That's got this whole thing inverted, messed up. That's not the point. You see, the commandments reveal the character and desires of God for his people. And included in that reality is this. Commandments expose the inability of man to meet God's standards. Right? So that means, how are you and I going to love God like that? Well, we don't have that ability. Is God trying to make that point to us? Because, see, if he makes that point to you and I, then that's going to make the reality when God provides his Son, our Savior, all that much more important and precious to us. How many of you remember back in the COVID days? Did you ever hear news personnel quoting these verses? Am I the only one that remembers that? That happened, didn't it? It wasn't on a... Well, you know, you need to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm thinking, yeah, place the law on people. You can't do it. That's the point. But see, how arrogant people are, like, I can do that. I can love. And, you know, all I need to do is, you know, get a shot, wear a mask, stay 6 feet away, don't go to church, don't go to other places, got to do those. That will be loving my neighbor, right? Do that and you're golden, right? Wrong. It's totally messed up. Completely. Don't ever listen to unbelievers try to apply scripture. You see, love can only be expressed by the grace of God and for the glory of God. And twisting arms to get people to try to do this in their own self-determination is just enslavement. Sin and insufficiency are meant to drive people to the Lord for cleansing and forgiveness. And when you know that you're supposed to love God like that and you don't, and you're supposed to love your neighbor like that and you don't, what are you supposed to do? Throw up your hands in despair and say, oh well. No, you're to go to Christ. And you're to ask him to please forgive me, cleanse me, and equip me by your grace for your glory to do these things. And walk in the strength that God has graciously supplied us in the new covenant. Can God's people actually love God like that now? Well, we got a better shot at it than the old covenant people. Agreed? Can we actually love other people? Yeah, because God's empowering us to do that. You can't pull that up from within. You got to receive that as a gift from God. As Jesus prepares for his crucifixion and glorification, he also prepares his disciples to anticipate new covenant power and grace in his absence. You remember the event when Jesus went with his disciples to the upper room as was prepared for them, and they were to sit and have that last Passover dinner with the Lord. And what did Jesus do during that Passover dinner? He got up from the reclining place at the table, took off his garments, wrapped a linen garment around him as if a servant, and went around that place and washed all of his disciples' feet. That's a pretty vivid display of humility. This is what Christ said he did. He says, your Lord, your leader, have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. And then this statement is made, John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. And when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." What Jesus is referring to is that very night, he is going to be handed over to be crucified, to fulfill what he came to do, to be that new covenant offering in his blood, to make that atoning sacrifice real. Nobody's taking his life from him. He's laying it down willingly. And he's expressing this to his disciples. This is what I came to do. Now listen, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, is the responsibility to love God and love others, is that something new, or did the old covenant talk about that? So what we have here is Jesus unpacking this in another way that he's driving it deeper. Because what we were not able to do under the power of self-determination in the old covenant, we are now able to do by the grace that God supplies us in Christ. And even though Jesus is going to be in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, we're not left to our own devices. He comes and he gives us the ability to love. We can love. We can love God and we can love one another. So much so that Jesus is saying, see, by me doing this, God is going to be glorified and I'm going to be glorified by what you do. And all people are going to know that we're his disciples by this love. This means, folks, you can't do this on your own. The only way we can love like this is by the grace of Christ. Would you go with me here that this is something that the news personalities just don't have a clue of? You and I are only going to be able to do this by the strength that is ours in Christ. And I hope that would give you some level of hope and encouragement, that you don't have to kind of drum this up from within, but that you can trust that God is going to be working in you and through you so that you can have proper care and concern for living out truth and caring for God's people. Caring for the people around you. The command to love in the new covenant is new because with the gift of Jesus Christ and his work, the Holy Spirit is going to enable obedience to the love command. New covenant Christians can love God and others consistently because abiding in Jesus enables them to do what they are commanded to do. Just a couple chapters later on that night, Jesus gives them that story that his father's the husbandman and he's the vine and they're the branches. And, you know, God is glorified if you bear much fruit. And he says, and you are to abide in me so that you do bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But in Christ, we're able to do these things. We're able to manifest what we could not do in the flesh. New covenant Christians can love God and others consistently because Jesus enables them to do what they've been commanded to do. And then he goes on and he says, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. You see, that old covenant era was coming to a close. It was wrapping itself up in time. And this new covenant era is coming, and it's all, the light of it's shining, and the darkness of its powerlessness is passing away. That true light is already shining. The completed redemptive work of that Christ finished is dawning in this new covenant era. New covenant grace empowers new covenant people of God. We know we are disciples of Christ because we love, because the love that characterizes Jesus Christ characterizes us as his people. The darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining, which is true in him and in you. We have this connection with Christ that empowers us to do what we could not do in the flesh. It's a good thing, right? To say God has told us what we need to do. We just need to love him wholeheartedly and love others as ourselves. Thank God you're not responsible to do that alone. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Folks, this is our new covenant hope in God's grace. The power of the Spirit of God is there for us. The Spirit provides the love that we need. If you and I could not love God like we need to outside of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we can't love one another like we need if the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is not there. We can't love unregenerate people the way God wants us to if the power and presence of the Spirit of God is there. And if the power and presence of the Spirit of God is there, you and I have hope. We can actually love like this. Take encouragement, child of God. You're enabled to walk like God wants you to walk. He's not weighting you down with burdens that you can't bear. He's supplying what you need. This is why it is absolutely essential to see the commandments of God in the light of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we have this Christ-honoring love for God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we have Christ-honoring love for one another and others. We come to verses 9 through 11, and we see that hatred is the fruit of darkness, and light and love are the fruits of gospel life in Christ. John says, whoever says that he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. You say, I'm in the light, but you hate your brother? You're still in the darkness. What is he addressing? Well, the Gnostics believed that the spiritual and immaterial is all that is important. And John is addressing a Gnostic false teaching that is evident here. That this Gnostic, gnosis, Greek word gnosis, knowledge, these people are claiming we have an enlightenment from God, and this enlightenment from God is what really gives us this spiritual connection to him, and we have this divine anointing that brings us into this close relationship with God. We're relationally connected to him powerfully and wonderfully, and yet What is done in the flesh is irrelevant because what is material is irredeemably tarnished. Gnostics believe that they have a spiritual and enlightened relationship with God that makes them superior to those who don't have this special light and special knowledge. Can you kind of get the idea that maybe that's not a very loving attitude? When you're around the people that you are and you just feel superior to them, that's not a loving thing. You see, their attitude of superiority causes them to disregard others. They give them no care or concern. Displays that are self-centered and self-exalting show no genuine concern for helping and benefiting others. Those are empty, loveless acts. Paul addresses this kind of thing when he describes love that ought to be characteristic in the church by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. So if I put on this incredible spiritual display that I'm speaking in this tongue, it's not mine, and it's the power of God. And boy, he says, you know, and you manifest that, and he says, but you don't have love? What are you? You're just empty noise. And if I have prophetic powers and can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Do you see what Paul is saying? You can have all this quote unquote spiritual impressiveness. You can have this connection where you understand. He goes, if I had all that and I don't have love, I've got nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver my body to be burned. Some have said agape love is this self-sacrificing love that God has. And I think even here you see that Paul is saying it's more than that. Because I don't know how you can be more self-sacrificing than to give your body to the flames. Right? Give all you possess to the poor. Give your body. Isn't that the most sacrificial stuff you could imagine? Are you asleep? Talk to me. Can you imagine anything more sacrificial than that? I can't. And he says, it's not enough without love. It's not enough. He says, if I do that, I gain nothing. You see, what is done for self-promotion and self-exaltation. It's not centered in Christ, and it is not others-oriented. It's all to draw attention to self. And so we look superior. So we're always putting ourselves forward. We always want to cast ourselves in the most favored light so people look up to us. That's not a loving thing to do. You see, people can claim they walk in spiritual life with Jesus, but if they don't actually care about anyone other than themselves, they're children of darkness. Children of darkness walk in careless hatred of others. Careless hatred of others. In this context, I think this is important for us to understand what hatred actually means, because he's not talking about seething and rage. He's talking about, I don't care. The most hateful thing you can do to somebody else is to care less about who they are, what they're doing, what's going on in their life. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. Christians shine the light of truth by showing consistent care and concern for their brothers and sisters in Christ. Living with Christ, exalting care and concern for others, is walking in the light. when we live our lives consciously that my life impacts the people around me. And it should. If you're living such an isolated existence that people don't even know who you are, what you're about, that, folks, it's just not Christian. You might feel safe, and you might feel secure by living in that padded way, buffered from people, but it's not biblical. We got to be connected with people. We need to be displaying the love of God in our hearts toward them and allowing them to display the love of God in their hearts toward us. You see, by abiding in the light displays that we're living all of Christ in all of life, and that includes others as well. I can't live all of Christ in all of life if I don't care about the people around me. If I don't care about the people in my own church, that's not living all of Christ for all of life. Stumbling into sin means one is not walking in the light of Jesus Christ. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Stumbling into sin means that one is not walking in the light of Jesus Christ. Stumbling in selfishness and sin impedes personal Christ-honoring progress. And causing others to stumble impedes the Christ-honoring progress in others. Should we be concerned how we live? Should it be important to us that I don't walk around tripping over sin and selfishness in my life? And should we be caring about others doing the same? Well, only if we feel warm fuzzies toward them. I think we need to have some affection. But let's be honest, if we're going to love like God wants us to love, that's going to be discomforting. Would you not agree? God has not called us to a life of ease. He's not called us to a life that we can just manage under our own power. We need to draw from Him in Christ. He'll supply what we need. You and I have what we need to be all that God wants us to be. He's not putting this burden on our shoulders and saying, do it. He's saying, I've given you my Son, I've given you my Spirit, I give you everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called you to His own glory and goodness. Draw on that strength, folks. Draw on it. Don't look inside and start looking at your own feelings. That's trouble, isn't it? We need to draw from Christ. What does it mean to walk in faith? Can I actually love people by faith? Yeah, because I believe if God wants me to love people, I'm going to do what God called me to do, and He's going to supply everything I need. Living in this place of isolation like these Gnostics are doing, it's not loving. And it's not loving when we do it either. You see, walking in the light of truth in Christ illuminates the pathway of grace. Those walking in the light of grace of Christ, they're joyfully sharing that light with others, and they're encouraging others to join them in this pursuit of holiness. Shouldn't that be something that beats in our hearts? I want my brothers and sisters in Christ to join me in this pursuit of holiness. We need to walk together in truth and righteousness. This is what it means to go out in triumphal procession in Christ. Putting that glorious love of God and others on display, walking in truth and obedience so that Christ is exalted, Christ is magnified. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness, verse 11, and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, it's not necessary for hatred to have burning fury. Hatred can mean a thoughtless, careless concern for others. What? Just don't care. You do you, I'll do me. Those wrapped up in their own lives are blind to the people and then their needs around them. Those in darkness of selfishness and sin don't care about obedience and righteousness for themselves, and they certainly don't care about the righteousness and obedience of others. Those who don't live in the light of truth don't have any sense of direction. They're just bumbling around. They're just surviving each and every day. Our lives need to have purpose. Would you not agree? And that purpose needs to be guided by wholeheartedness to God and love and devotion, having care and concern for Him and His ways and His will, and having that same kind of care and concern for one another. That we want to walk in truth and we want others to do the same. We want to live out like this. You see, people that are walking in the darkness, they do what they want without any thought of the consequences. Remember that when sin and selfishness surfaces. Is this what I should do to be loving God and loving others? Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, are you powerless? No, not by the grace that God supplies. You have the ability. By faith, you walk in obedience. You choose to obey God and do the right things, believing that He'll supply everything you need because He promises that He will, doesn't He? Through these great and precious promises, you and I have divine power. We can overcome the flesh. We have to believe this. And we have to live like we believe that. Truth illuminates our need and our hope in Jesus. Yeah, thank God our need of Jesus is illuminated by truth. But our hope in Jesus is also there. He's what we need. Those who go hard after God and encourage those around Him to do the same are walking in the light of love. The light of truth helps humble and hungry hearts take concern for the hungry hearts of others. May God grant us humble, hungry hearts. And may we look around and see our brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them to go hard after God. Because caring and being concerned for others is a loving thing to do. We need to love each other. And we need to love God with everything that's in us. And by the grace of God in Christ, we have the ability to do that. You have that ability through Christ. Care about other people. He brought you out of darkness into His light. He gave His own Son for you. He's committed, and He wants us to draw on that and walk in that commitment. Some questions to consider. What did the old covenant commandments to love God and others reveal? And what makes the commandments to love God and others by new covenant grace in Christ a reality? And how would you define hate as described by the Apostle John? And what is the significance of John's comparison of darkness and light for Christians? I hope and pray that you will come away from nothing else to say, man, you know what? God wants me to love Him and love others. And I have the ability to do that by the grace that God has supplied. We can do this, folks. We can have victory in these things, and we can encourage one another in this path. Let's do this to the glory of God and for the good of God's name in His church. We need to impact our world for Christ. This is how we're going to do this. God, help us, I pray, to walk in these truths. Help us to not be indifferent and careless in the way that we live our lives. Help us, God, to be delivered from the blindness of selfishness and sinfulness. And Lord, help us to trust you that you're going to take on what we need by the power of your Spirit working in us, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ provided not only the ability to be cleansed and forgiven, but by the power and presence of the Spirit, we have the ability to love and to walk in obedience. And help us, God, to encourage our brothers and sisters around us to do just that, to love and to walk in obedience. May your name be glorified in us, your people, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior.